Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A woman who spoke to South Dakotans about freedom has been arrested and charged with conspiracy to act as an agent of the Russian Federation. What's the impact on the South Dakota political scene? We're joined today by Dakota political junkie John Hunter. He is publisher of the Madison Daily Leader newspaper. John, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for coming back.
Well, thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
All right, let's start with Maria Butina. And what is her connection to South Dakota? For probably everyone knows by now, but for those who need a quick recap of who this person is before she was charged.
Well, it's the only thing I know about Russian spies is what I learned on Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks. So I think we're starting to learn what this is about. And yeah. I guess it's fair to say that this is an accusation at this point. She has been arrested mm-hmm. and charged, but not convicted of this kind of conspiracy thing. But the charges really are saying that this young woman, 29 years old, has been trying to infiltrate American political organizations on behalf of the Russian Federation. And so it's a crime to do that. She is not registered as a foreign agent as such. That's an irony. If you're going to spy, I don't think you're going to sign up and say you're a spy.
Right, yeah.
That typically doesn't happen. But she had the connection to South Dakota. She spoke at different events. In 2015, about 3 years ago, including some time at the Sioux Falls School District and University of South Dakota and a teenage Republican camp in South Dakota. So people thought that was interesting enough. She was talking about pursuing freedoms in the Soviet Union, or in Russia, excuse me, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, and particularly on guns, the freedom to bear arms like we have in the United States. So, and then all of a sudden, I think everyone was shocked to say, boom, she's been arrested as a possible Russian spy.
And detained immediately because of, they say she is a serious flight risk. And now NPR has just released more information on the details of why she was detained, and her bags were already packed, and she was looking to maybe come to South Dakota. There's all kinds of allegations flying around because of her connection with Paul Erickson in the state, but no one knows exactly where she was planning on. But she's detained immediately, as even though she's innocent until proven guilty because of her flight risk. So is this something, John, that has a political impact? What's the lesson here for South Dakota politicians?
That's a very good question. I'm just trying to sort through it myself, Lori, and that I think it's really becoming more of a national issue rather than particular to South Dakota. You know, our whole relationship with Russia seems to be all over the board. At times we seem to be getting along, and other times we aren't. You know, manipulation of the 2016 elections, this recent summit with Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, and getting mixed messages out of that. I think there's probably no question that Russia has had spies in the United States for many decades, and even with the collapse of the Soviet Union, I suspect that has been the case. It's sure possible that the United States has had spies in Russia this whole time, too. So I think for some of us are a little naive about this kind of thing, but I think it happens. In South Dakota, you know, being associated with this teenage Republican camp is probably the only real political connection. I don't think you can say the Sioux Falls School District is Republican or Democrat or the University of South Dakota. But this teenage Republican camp then said, aha, then the Russians or the Republicans love the Russians or something. I don't think you can really make those conclusions, even though some partisan people would try to gain some favor by that association. I don't think any of those organizations.
Is it interesting, though, I think when, you know, those of us who, you know, lived during the Cold War and have, you know, maybe some more memories than maybe many of those kids who were in the Young Republicans camp or in the school district, you know, the audience, because you're right, there's, that's not a direct connection between the Sioux Falls School District and the Russian Federation. But I think we have an idea, or I'm wondering if we have an idea that, a human intelligence operative would behave in a certain way. You know, they're trying to steal information. This is what you kind of, your cybersecurity is watching out for. They're phishing. But this is a direct political action where you have somebody from the Russian Federation trying to get involved in politics, and saying, here's my message about freedom. It relates to you. And meantime, she has direct connection with Russian intelligence operatives frequently. That's an attempt to infiltrate a political organization. That's different. That has a little more weight, doesn't it? It's time to not be so naive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Lori, what I think you're emphasizing there, or at least acknowledging, is that the experience that you've had, and that maybe that I've had, or observation over many years, maybe brings a little level of skepticism to the thing that young people would not have known.
Right.
And so if you are a young person, you wouldn't necessarily think, the Russians, there might be something there. And so do we keep our guards up? Do we welcome these kind of, cross-border things? And so I think you gain that from years of experience. But I think also people say, look, it's a new era. This is not 19, it's not the Bay of Pigs or something like that in the early 60s. So, yeah, I think what we're learning maybe is maybe to keep our eyes open and ears open for these kind of things, which we probably weren't thinking about recently. Yeah.
And as you get involved in politics, whatever side of the aisle that you're on, that's not just, Russia. That's how do you establish those trusting relationships and maintain the ethics and the transparency and the integrity of, the messages that you're bringing and how you're contacting or communicating with people. So it's an interesting world right now.
And may I ask a question, Lori? Have you been to the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.?
I have not been to the International Spy Museum.
It's a strange place.
Yeah.
It's kind of eye-opening to me. I think most of the museums we go to, we kind of know what to expect, and this was very different, and I may be eye-opening and something that maybe some Americans should, if they're in Washington, D.C., can go visit.
Right, and in an international global age, the things that used to be sort of cut and dried, as in Russia is, an enemy, those lines are fading right now. Certainly someone coming from a former Soviet, nation and talking about oppression is not in and of itself a risky scenario. I have a lot of Russian linguists who are my friends still on Facebook, and they're sort of, slapping their palms to their heads and saying, did you not see that coming?
Right.
Just because of their experience and their awareness of...
What? Dakota State University here in Madison, and its cybersecurity expertise, they talk about Russian attacks all the time, and that from China as well. I mean, they'll specifically say this is... Or other such countries; those are, I think, the most prominent. I think by far, I think they'd be one and two, and then you drop down a long ways to the third one. But they talk about it in, at least in China, they've talked about whole businesses that people come to work in the morning and get a cup of coffee and greet their work fellow coworkers, and then you sit down and try to hack into American business computers all day.
Right.
It's a weird world in that sense. And then they have a company picnic, and they go to lunch, and they come back and hack more. I mean, we're not used to that, really. At least I'm not.
Yeah, right. And yeah, I think the state of South Dakota BIT folks would remind everyone to be careful about which emails you open and leaving your computer up and all those things. So pay attention to that cybersecurity. Hey, let's talk about tariffs and trade and South Dakota farmers, because now we're starting to see some of those, the results and the impact on the bottom line, but many farmers and producers are still standing by the president, but they're starting to get a little fatigued about what's happening with international trade.
Yes, it's a point of which it's the trade war has come to South Dakota farms. It's a high stakes. I don't want to call it a game because it's not a game, but that's what some people describe it as. We threaten this and they threaten that, and some of these things now are kind of in place. And the tariffs even themselves may not be fully implemented, but when you rely on world market prices, that often reflects those things immediately rather than waiting for the actual thing to come through. So China has imposed tariffs on soybeans, which is South Dakota's largest crop this year. China, roughly a third of their imports come from the United States, and it accounts for about a quarter of all U.S. soybean sales. And so for us in South Dakota to lose that market or to have it severely hampered by price is a big deal. And, I don't know how they calculate estimates, but they talk about hundreds of millions of dollars lost in South Dakota agriculture because of this kind of thing.
Right. The real crunch comes in the fall during the harvest. So that's when things, will maybe come to a head. What are your thoughts as far as does that have an impact on midterm elections? Or is that not what we're really talking about here? It's not really talking about the ballot box. It's just talking about the bank account.
Yeah, it's a good question, Lori. I do think it comes other than harvest. I think the sophisticated marketing of a lot of farmers, they line up sales for the harvest in advance through futures sales and so on. So I think it actually does start taking place now rather than waiting till October. But yes, I do think it could affect midterm elections in those states that are severely affected, and if it doesn't kind of get straightened out, and there's both sides. People say, look, we need more people who need to be tough on our trading partners, and then you've got people who say, no, we just want to open up trade completely and let everything flow. So I can't even predict which way it would affect the election if it does.
John Hunter, I think we've solved nothing and just made everybody worry more today, haven't we?
Again.
Don't open your emails. And farmers are going to take a bath.
Eat more soybeans.
Oh. And here we are. Welcome to American politics and state politics as it stands right now. John Hunter, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure, Lori.